Hey guys, it's DJ Jesse Janity, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about TrueCar. TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, but to see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everybody, AfterBuzz TV here for another recap of The Newsroom. We are already on episode
four.
Yeah. The title of tonight's episode was Contempt. Ooh. Dun dun dun. Lots going on. It was such a good episode. What'd you guys think overall?
Oh, is Kelly on there?
Kelly, are you on the line?
Yeah, it was good. Kelly. Hi.
Oh, I can hear her.
We should introduce ourselves. I'm Sarah Mendoza.
I'm Kendra Caviso.
And on the line, we have Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I'm still trying to collect my thoughts. It was a really good episode tonight. I loved it. Did you guys love it?
I loved it. It was pretty emotional, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't say where I got
it. I thought it was really good. It's funny because I was reading some stuff online of different recaps and people's opinions from different news outlets about the episode, and a lot of people didn't like it, but I felt differently, and I think it's great that we all liked it.
That's interesting.
What didn't they like about it?
Yeah, quickly, did they say specifically what they didn't like about it in the articles, Kelly?
Yeah, a lot of the articles just thought that there was a lot of filler stuff, and, you know, it was pretty lame, I guess, the HR incident, which I thought was funny, and something that, of course, it was overdramatic, but something, you know, that you have to deal with when you're in a working relationship. So I thought it was funny that they played on that for a little comic relief, because it was a very heavy episode with a lot of really dramatic scenarios going on. Okay. That was one thing that was pointed out. Also, people were hating on the whole Jim and Maggie thing that we're coming back to, but obviously we'll get into all of that in our own recap. But it was interesting that overall there was a lot of hate online about the episode. I mean, not big hate, but just
I was going to say that's the very thing I liked about it. I liked that it was relationship driven and relationship heavy, emotion heavy.
Yeah.
The music got to me. I was just like, it took me to, you know.
To dry your eyes up through the episode.
I had to dry my eyes a little bit.
I agree with you. And I like that you did bring that up, Kelly, because I actually felt like without that comic relief, this episode would have been way too serious. We had a lot of different heavy topics changes and heavy relationship issues pop up here. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't kind of have that thing to laugh about, the comic drama on the side, I think it would have been just way too heavy for one episode. So thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the episode says it all, contempt. You see a lot of contempt for each other in these various scenarios throughout the episode. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of aggravation and frustration and a lot of different things going on, which attributed to that very heavy feeling.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree that comedy was needed.
I agree with that, too. And I had contempt when the episode ended, because I'm thinking, Oh my gosh, we only have two more episodes left after this.
Anyways. I had contempt after my prediction failed. I thought the wedding would have been on episode...
A grandiose affair. Yeah, is that what
at
you
at the end. But then at the same time, I enjoyed it.
So we'll definitely dig into the wedding part of tonight's episode. But first, let's kick it off with everyone's favorite topic, relationships. Who do you want to start with?
Can we start with Charlie and Lucas Pruitt's relationship? Because that was my favorite of the episode, I think.
Yeah. So what'd you think about that, Kelly?
I thought it was fantastic at how angry and spicy. We saw a lot of Charlie really going at him, and mm-hmm. I liked it. I liked his comebacks to things about dumbing down the news and making everyone a reporter. And that's such a big topic. I mean, we talk about this every week in our society now with this, you know, quote unquote, new media versus old media.
Right.
And watching them kind of play this out in that relationship, which wasn't a romantic relationship. It was a business relationship.
Yeah.
And we saw it played out in the romantic relationship with Hallie and Jim. So we got to see two sides of that same argument almost. Just in two very different ways, and I found that really interesting in this episode.
Right. I loved it when Charlie so passionately said to Pruitt, "They're, you know, the generation, the younger generation's heads aren't going to explode if you actually tell them the news. Stop patronizing our younger generation." I thought that was such a great line. The back and forth between them, I agree, Kelly. It was such a great Sorkin banter sequence. I guess we'll call it Sorkin banter sequence. SBS.
Banterism.
Sorkinism. That's what it is.
Right.
But yeah, I agree that I enjoyed watching their exchange because we have these polar opposite views. That really is the overarching issue, right? Mm-hmm. Of the newsroom. And here it's a representation of that. The Charlie way, quote unquote, old media versus new media coverage, which is the Pruitt way.
A topic today. In general.
Mm-hmm. And so Pruitt was all about the social media and citizen journalism. And Charlie's like, what? Like, what planet are
and
you
And he
from?
Just went full on arrogant in this episode, mm-hmm. Lucas. He just really showed and revealed his play on making all of them go to that correspondence dinner in the first place. It was just an abuse of power, or an exercise of power, as he puts it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, he was laughing about it.
Letting them know that, escalated more and more throughout the episode, and Charlie just couldn't stand it, which was hilarious.
Right. What I love so much about Charlie's character is just his unshakable mindset, right, about what this network should be and how the news should be done. And Will and Mackenzie are on the same page with him, right? So mm-hmm. I just love seeing that in him. He's got such a fire, and it was through arrogance today, mm-hmm. but it was effective for me. I was like, you go, Charlie, you go. And then,
I love how he ends it with, mm-hmm. we've got a problem, you and me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he went straight to problem solving, right? He went to Sloan, and he's like, there's got to be another way. And then they, you know, try to figure out who... I thought it was funny that he brought a list of other people who could buy up the company to him, right? Or to Sloan.
Bloomberg.
Including Bloomberg. Yeah.
But also, you got to remember, and I think this one thing is really great, these subtle hints about just how intelligent and observant Charlie really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because although, you know, and Sloan was right at bringing this out to him that this was a big business deal. He didn't know what he was doing. Can't just write a list of name of rich people down, mm-hmm. which that was pretty funny within itself. But then she has this idea. She heard a rumor. And I like that she said, and I thought this was really funny, that if it was in page 6, it has to be true. And I thought that was really funny because page 6 is known for being the gossip pages, the society pages, it's the party pages of the Post.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always necessarily true. I mean, as a publicist working with them, I can tell you I know that they vet sources and, you know, all of that stuff.
Sure.
But I just thought that because of the whole fight with Hallie and her new job and the new media and all of that, and they're emphasizing in these different relationships what gossip columnists are, I thought that line in itself was really telling and funny.
Right.
For them to say that. But then they go to this restaurant, they have this meeting with this potential other buyer, and as they leave, Charlie makes an observation. She didn't eat her food. She obviously doesn't like sushi. Why would we have gone there? And Sloan doesn't see it that way and thinks he may be overthinking. And right. He was right on the money.
Yeah.
He was intuitive about that. I kind of agreed with him, and I was wondering what they were going to do with that. But
yeah, because you're mm-hmm. good, Kendra, at usually. Sensing those small details. I didn't catch it. I was just like, oh, maybe she changed her mind about the photo.
But I think, too, that's kind of the difference with how observant how observant the older generation is versus the new. Everyone with this new media and this kind of new media lifestyle, mm-hmm. they're very in the now, in the moment, when things now. They don't really look around. They're so focused in one area. They're not really paying attention to their surroundings,
right.
which mm-hmm. is what he was doing. He noticed that he took note. Something was a little off,
right.
but just dismissed it.
He had more of a peripheral focus as well, but she was just kind of mm-hmm. like honed in on her mission.
Yeah.
How do I get her to buy the network? Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, the woman was a little stiff, though, about it all. And so that was a little shady. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Charlie picked up on.
Yeah, there was some contempt.
Yeah, and we find out ultimately that it was just used for leverage, and which I find interesting. Well, and again, neither one of them make big business deals. They didn't know what they were doing. It was really funny just kind of playing on that it showed that trying to step outside and do a little more than you really know, someone else could have seen this coming, I guess, is what my point is. Mm-hmm. Someone that's dealt with that before, knows better than that, maybe Reese, if they had gone to him first, could have seen it coming mm-hmm. and there wouldn't have been that embarrassing moment. But
right,
nonetheless, it is what it is.
Nonetheless, they're all investigators in this big story. So, yeah. Maybe we should bring up our next relationship here.
Our duo, Jim and Hallie. Should we get into?
Yeah, let's get into Jim and Hallie.
How Jim and Hallie just don't work. I just
Jim and Hallie is so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
such an intense relationship.
Yeah,
and as much as they're trying to make him be the bad guy, I am on his side with this whole situation.
Do you think they're trying to make him?
Well, I think she's definitely trying to make him the bad guy, which makes us think about it.
Makes her seem fishy.
But her actions, in my opinion, are what starts his reactions. It's really shady what you did to, when he points out that, did she accidentally do the tweet or did she do the tweet so the enemies could know that she would be soon available, And I think we discussed that, right, in a previous recap, that could be a possibility. It was outlandish to me at the time, but apparently, this is something that's true. People are actually that shady.
Yeah, well, she was trying to, secure a job, I think.
Right.
Because she knew the ship is sailing, is sinking, and she wanted to be one of the...
Right, but her argument that there were thousands of reporters there, it was eventually going to get out, that doesn't matter. It's about your individual integrity,
right.
And I believe that's what Jim's argument is. Look at the job that you're doing. You sit here, you claim that you want to be a real journalist.
Right.
But with bonuses and all of these things, you're mad at people that are doing what you originally set out to do.
Right.
Having relatable stories and personal stories, and we all know reality television makes tons of money itself. There is something intriguing to the masses about the dirt and the drama and just feeding off of people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that goes bad in their life because, for whatever reason, it's entertainment.
Right.
And to be lumped into that, but not to admit it. I think he'd have more respect for her if she would just admit what she was doing.
Right. Which she started to.
Yeah.
Well, it was still very roundabout. she still didn't flat out admit it. He cornered her. He called her out. And she said, I pointed them in the right direction.
Yeah,
right.
She doesn't just fess up and say, sorry, this is what I'm,
yes,
what
right.
I'm doing.
She doesn't, like, she doesn't seem to take ownership for the decisions that she's made.
She doesn't think that she's wrong. She, and that's the scary part, I think, to him, is that she doesn't even see that what she's doing is wrong, that she's using him for stories for this incentive to make more money.
Right.
She's got the inside scoop, and she's using that to her advantage, which is what he was worried about in the very beginning, that she claimed and promised was never going to happen and was not her intent, and she turns out to be a liar.
Right.
Sugarcoat it, twist it, and turn it, and play with the words, and don't flat out say that or admit it or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's black and white. You lied. You used your insight to get inside information, and then you blasted your relationship problems because you were mad. Did you blast it because you were mad? You know, my computer doesn't trust me. That's such bullshit. Everything that I feel that she did was calculated and on purpose.
Would we, okay, I have a question. Would we champion what she's doing if it were for a more hard news story that she, you know, raced to the finish line knowing it was going to get out there? Let's say it wasn't about, you know, let's say it was about something
More.
But it would have never been on that site, though. Look at the publication and what they're writing about.
Sure, but
it'd be different if she was working for the New York Times.
Right. So I guess my question is more like, let's say she was still at ACN and she used the same methods to get this story out there. Is it because, like, for you ladies, is it because of the kind of news that this is? You know what I'm saying? Like, if she was still at ACN and she went through those means versus her now being at Carnivore.
You're talking about the Carnivore, the discussion at dinner story or the tweet? Which one are we talking about?
The discussion
at dinner. I guess all of it, really, right?
Yeah.
Her actions in general.
Yeah.
For me, personally, it's not what she's saying, it's how she went about it that bothers me. Because I get it. News is news. Everybody reports things differently. Mm-hmm. I do agree with her argument. There are fashion reporters. There are lifestyle reporters. All of that. I live in that world, too, from the other end of it. I want people reporting on those stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, what needs to be out there. But in the way that she did it, in that sneaky way, that's what bothers me.
And I think
whether or not it's real, that's the way it comes across in my interpretation.
I think she's been sneaky about it, but I see some angst in her face whenever she's thinking about what Jim is approaching her with or thinking about what she's done.
Right.
And so I almost feel that she represents both sides. She represents the Charlie Skinners of the world and then the new gen, new media world that Pruitt keeps kind of dangling over everyone's head. You know, we're going to do Twitter and Tumblr and...
Well, from what we saw of her character in the beginning, I really think that this is her just trying to make herself feel all right, that she now has had to resort to being in a job at a tabloid carnivore type of quote unquote news organization. You know, like, she messed up. She was in her dream path. She would have, you know, that's really what she wanted. And now she's just trying to make herself feel better by putting her 100% into this whole carnivore path that she's taking.
But then it comes back to the tweet. Was she in her dream job? Did she mess up? Or did she do that on purpose? Nobody would have ever known she's the one that did it. Unless she outed herself.
Right.
They were going to respect her.
She thought for a second,
they were going to keep it anonymous, and she outed herself. That's where he got skeptical in the very first place, and that's what it came back to tonight. Why did you do that? What was the real reason behind it?
I guess we won't know unless she...
We could take...
I can't trust what she says anymore.
Yeah, but there's nothing... But I don't want to misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with working at a tabloid. I mean, nothing at all. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's the way that she went about how she was reporting it. And the fact that with this boyfriend that she has, that she's practically living with, you know, there's obviously that inner struggle that we see with her. But at the end of the day, I mean, I work with reporters all the time, and a lot of lifestyle reporters, and there are good, legit ways to go about it without being shady and sneaky.
I mean, this could have been...
So it's all in all how the individual wants to be perceived and portrayed and how you want to go about doing your job. Everyone has a choice.
It could have been her dream since she was on that campaign bus a season ago or so. She could have been mm-hmm. unhappy reporting underneath all of this. It could be a facade of she's interested in politics and hard news, but really she wants to work for Carnivore. And maybe she sneaks tabloids at night under the, you know, she's reading them. And
well,
and
we find out that Carnivore is a brand new site, but she could have known that it was coming.
Yeah,
I thought at one point, didn't she want to start her own site? What was the deal with that?
So, yeah.
I mean, what if we find out that Carnivore was her brainchild from the beginning?
Right. Also, she is she's an example of that struggle, right? Because she got into the business being taught the old ways of media,
right.
and growing with it that way on the campaign trail, and you know, having her mentors be people of the old style of media, right?
Yeah.
But she sees mm-hmm. this new emerging type of media, so it's like, do you hop on that train
and take your talents from the hard news and what you've learned,
right? Or do you kind of go with the old ship that's been sailing and hope that it's gonna...
I mean, and everybody has to, you know, make a living and pay your bills. So she lost her job at ACN. She didn't need another one. But she was receiving quite a bit of offers from what we find out from the episode. The Huffington Post had reached out to her. A bunch of different people reached out to her. So the fact that she chose this job is interesting within itself, because they made it seem that she was getting other offers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just wonder kind of what was behind that. And it could be nothing. We could way be overthinking this whole thing.
Yeah.
Or she could have had her eye
on... We could be pulling a Sloan on this one. Well, just overthinking.
I know.
She could have been thinking about it since meeting Jim.
It did seem like, though, the offers were all like... more like new media types of companies. Like BuzzFeed, I think, was Gawker... It was like new media type of organizations.
But a lot of those still report real news and not necessarily, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's all kind of the same. Carnivore seemed to be kind of more like a TMZ-ish type site, the way they described it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's a shiny object question. Maybe she was tired of the humdrum of the newsroom and wanted that excitement of, well... I mean, I guess writing about birth control, but she didn't, I don't think she realized she'd be writing.
Well, those are more personal stories, Kendra.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love when Jim was like, you made your own reality show in 5 days.
See?
Yeah.
And that's, she didn't really even
I also thought it was interesting that they kept comparing it to drug dealing.
Yeah, that was funny when Jack said that at the party.
Jack is so clueless, and Jack is so shady. I'm sorry, I had to say it again. He's so shady.
You think
he's
still
shady?
Well, he sure did call Maggie out, though.
He did, but it...
Oh, sorry, what was that, Kelly? I didn't hear.
I said he really did call Maggie out, though.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
About the jealous thing.
But for such a new relationship, too, it kind of freaked me out that he was so, like, aggressive about that. Like,
you're like, wait, we're...
You're still vying for the spot of being her boyfriend. Like, you
should... Well, I don't think that it's... I don't think it... I didn't take it as aggressive. I thought it was... I mean, he is a grown-up, a little bit more than what we're used to seeing her act like or be with. And he was honest.
It's good he's honest, but I guess for me personally, I'd be like, whoa, we don't need to talk about that right now, but that's just me.
We haven't researched this.
But I mean, when do you talk about that? If you really feel that the person, I mean, nobody wants to play chicken fiddle to anyone, especially someone that you constantly have to be in contact with. Jim is always around her. If he's going to functions and he has to witness that all the time, wouldn't you want to know? If it's that obvious as we all see that it is.
Yeah. I guess it's the way...
Nobody wants to play second choice to anyone, so having a conversation about it, you know, maybe the way that he did it, but she was getting a little bit aggressive and defensive over that whole situation, and he was just... why?
I think they both were, and for me, it's surprising at such an early Is this like just the first few
it's
times?
It's been a few weeks, hasn't it? If that.
But, you know, it's just a personal thing.
And he could be a runaway criminal. We just still don't know this guy. I just don't.
What does he do?
Something's not right. Maybe something's just not right with Jack. I just don't trust him.
You don't like his energy.
I don't. I mean, I don't know. Something. Am I the only one?
So,
what if he's the carnivore editor? He's the one. We're going to find out that he's the undercover reporter.
And then Hallie's going to get with Jack. And then Maggie and Jim are going to
live
together.
Happily ever after in the carnivore.
That would be very fitting, I think.
Yeah. But it was funny because Maggie just kind of said, oh, you think so? She didn't say, no, I'm not jealous. Or, you know.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, too. Like, oh. Maybe she still is not admitting it to herself.
Yeah, and I think that's those are the underlying reasons for the arguments that Jim starts with Hallie and Maggie kind of plays around with Jack, the shady guy.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say I don't like Jim and Hallie together, and I don't like Maggie and Jack together. I'm just going to say that.
I agree. But we do like, who do we like? We love Dawn and Sloan together.
We do.
Did we all? I think there's a consensus, right?
Sloan, Dawn, love that combo.
Oh, Sloan.
They're really cute. So this is the thing that had a little bit of controversy, right, on the comments online, Kelly, with
the women.
The HR situation with Dawn and Sloan. Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Me too.
I think that the reason why she didn't bring up that letter that she had written to HR, because then she has to have the real conversation with him that we are in a relationship. I think before, when they kind of had it out and were playing back and forth to each other, it was still a little up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the day that she wrote the letter.
But actually
having to discuss it, because what happens as soon as Dawn is approached by HR, he runs up and tells her, we're not in a relationship. Why would she ever want to bring up that she wrote that letter?
Right. But I actually thought...
I thought it was funny. She was waiting for... She was going to cross that bridge when it came here. She goes, here we are. We're at the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually thought...
Some people kind of do that, though. I'm guilty of that. Like, I know... something's about to happen, but I put it aside and I don't address it till it happens.
Really?
I've done it before. Not all the time, but I've been in that situation where I'm like, oh,
it's like full
that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
All your friends and family are like,
yeah,
listening to you admit.
Nobody will trust me.
No, I actually thought the HR person had the proof that Sloan admitted it to Will. Do you remember when they were in the hallway, and she was walking with Dawn, and she said to Will, we're in a relationship. Do you remember? And he turned to Dawn, he said, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. And so I thought maybe there were witnesses or...
Well, it seems like, from my perspective, it seems like everybody knows. You know, like, they're arguing in the conference room, and I think it's Jim that
everybody
says,
does know. I think it's one of those things that everyone knows, but they just won't admit it.
Yeah. Right. And it's not... officially,
I mean, they do, but they don't. They admit it, but they don't. They still kind of tiptoe around it, which I think that's what this whole game was.
Right.
I thought, and I also thought HR would have still gone through with you know, giving them trouble.
Separating them.
Yeah, even though they weren't going to own them the next day, it it made HR look bad. HR in general.
But where that didn't fit with me is, like, why is it them when it didn't happen with Mac and Will, and it didn't happen with Maggie and Jim, and it didn't happen with, you know.
I guess they're technically
he was new.
Equals.
And he was bored. So basically he was new and bored and playing around, and they were letting him get away with it, and there was no real point other than it's just fun. Why not?
Right.
Why not?
Exactly. That's why I thought it didn't really fit. I was like, well, this is just like a fun thing. Like, we know
that's what a lot of people were saying, is that it was just basically looked like a time filler. I didn't really see it too much as a time filler. I thought it was a little bit fun, because when you don't, you know, at least for me, when you get a little deeper in it, looking at the two of them and their fight for to really commit to one another, because they're both kind of fleeting, and... the play on I'm in love with you thing that Sloan did, and him wanting her to meet his parents and all that, I think just was a continuation of it to finally say, okay, fine, let's just do this for real. and she would have to admit that she was the first one to write the letter and make the and state the claim.
Right.
For real.
Don, yeah. Right. Don and Sloan, they are at that fun stage of a relationship, right? Where you're still flirting, you're still kind of playing the game, and it's fun to watch. And it, you're right, it's a situation where everybody knows it, but they don't want to admit it.
Right.
And it's that fun flirty stage that everybody loves in the beginning of a relationship. It's what we want.
Yeah.
I love watching those two.
We want Sorkin to write our relationships.
Yeah, if I could spit fire, if I could spit lines like that back and forth with my bow, then that would be a good time. Anything else we want to add about the relationships, guys, from the episode?
I don't trust Jack.
Okay.
Sorry.
Heard and heard.
I'm the only one. I wish, can people tweet about that? I just want to know what people think about Jack.
Yeah. And we'll get into the Will and Mac relationship a little bit later in our recap when we talk about the big wedding.
Oh, yes.
The big small wedding.
The big small.
All right. So before we get there, let's talk about where we're at with this buyout.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So it starts off with Charlie saying there must be another way to Sloan. So they're trying to figure out who can buy it out.
He pulls out that list of rich
folks. He pulls
out
the list like we talked about earlier and discover together that, hey, we heard that Antoinette Dodd is looking to buy a media company.
Yeah, because so she remembered reading that on page 6 and then she remembered thinking about, what was it, Bruce Willis or, mm-hmm. No, not Bruce Willis.
I forget.
Alec Baldwin, yeah. And she went on a tangent.
Right.
But, yeah, so she remembered that Antoinette Dodd was interested in buying a media group, and so they decide to try and track her down off the record, basically.
Right. Because Will's thinking, and Sloan is now thinking, hey, this could be our answer.
Right.
We've got a media company that she can buy.
Because she doesn't have $4 billion, but she has $4 billion.
Right. And this will remove, you know, this will relieve them of having to be bought out by Pruitt, which they do not want. They are not in agreement with where Pruitt wants to take the network.
Pain in the neck, Pruitt.
Right. So, as we talked about, we mentioned earlier, they went to lunch.
Right.
At the sushi place with Antoinette. Something's a little fishy, no pun intended. At the sushi spot as they're leaving, but they're thinking they've got a pretty good chance here, right?
They still haven't heard anything by the end of the afternoon when Pruitt shows up to the place a little bit early. He shows up to APN an hour early. They haven't heard. She's still meeting with the board. They go check the computer system and see that there was a tweet that came out that a big media buy announcement or media announcement's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're checking everything. Charlie races to go and tell Reese to stop everything. As he's racing to go stop the sale from happening, Sloan sees the stock going up for another media company and realizes that they have just been played. She runs to the office a little too late after Charlie already storms in. Basically cusses out.
Yeah. 10 seconds too late.
And his reaction is arrogant and all as ever, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And Charlie kind of goes at him a little bit and attacks him. And that's going to be fun to see their interaction for the last couple of episodes if we get to see a lot more of that.
Right. What I hated Pruitt even more because he knew.
The news.
He knew what was going on with Antoinette. He knew that Antoinette was just trying to confuse the press about what network she was going to buy by meeting with them at the sushi place.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to get more money or to drop the price, something with the price to get a better deal.
Right.
And again, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. They didn't know what they were doing. They were in a big game they really didn't know how to play. And he does. That's why he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way he was taunting Reese during the whole thing, I told you I was going to buy a company out from under you. I told you 15 years ago.
Yeah. And then he talks about stealing his girlfriend, too. This guy is just a creep. That's a creep. See, we don't know yet if Jack's quite the creep, but this one is 200% a creep.
This guy owns the creep.
Yeah, he does the own the creep.
Yeah.
At least he owns it, Hallie.
Oh. Well, now, all in all, ADN is now belongs to Pruitt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
So we'll see kind of what happens
there. Sealed, delivered.
I actually think, well, and I don't want to do the prediction thing, but I actually think it would be good for ACN, because I think they are behind in the times, and I think, you know, what he proposed will do wonderful things for this.
There definitely is a compromise to be had, because they do need to catch up with the times, and which is what they were starting to do with Neil and the website and the social media account for ACN, and he was kind of slowly getting into that. Mm-hmm. So they were opening the door a little bit, but I think Lucas is going to force them to shove it right open and really jump into that, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
If they can be done, if they can find a good compromise.
Right. Because it is about the ratings. And you know, they were at number two. Now they're dipped down to number four. And that's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
this would be the way.
I still don't like the everyone's a journalist. That really is frustrating and annoying. So if they can find a good, like I said again, a good compromise, there still has to be
a credible filter. But in connecting with an audience, I see where new media and social media and bringing that element of technology into the newscast will certainly do them some good.
That's the thing. I agreed with that when he was trying to pitch him that. Charlie doesn't want to hear it. He just wants one camera, one, you know. But I think Pruitt has a...
But I think if he comes back, Charlie is not stupid. If he comes back with a compelling argument in a way that isn't so annoying and elegant, I think he can get through to him and he can have a real conversation about it, and some good can be done. Because that is something that they need to do.
Yeah.
And kind of jumping back a little bit to the argument with Hallie and Jim and the you're just afraid of technology, that's almost such a ridiculous statement.
Right.
You just want everyone to like you.
Right.
And that, again, she was just reaching for that validation of what she's doing. So there has to be a middle ground between that, what Charlie, Jim, and Don want, and Mackenzie, and what Lucas. I wish I'm thinking like Ray Pruitt, freaking 90210. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
That's
way
great.
Back. I keep
That's great.
To say that every time
flashbacks.
I say
All right. Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. Well, I think the key word, you're right, Kelly, is compromise, because you do have to take it into the now, but you and into the future. But you know, it's scary to think about. Are they going to do a complete overhaul? Because that could come with, let's get rid of Will. Let's get rid of this person and that person. You know. There's got to be a happy marriage. A lot of wedding noise.
Well, he doesn't want to get rid of Will. He wants Will to broadcast in jail.
He does, because that would be...
Oh, gosh. Well, that was one
never
that
been
good
done before.
Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would top the Danny Glover stalker
show. I guess that Pruitt is
show.
A little smart, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, let's jump into that. We go back to these grand jury hearings. Plays out exactly the way Rebecca said it would. He's not going to give up the source. He doesn't. He gets held in contempt of court. He's going to jail.
Yep.
And before that happens, throughout the process, they're trying to figure out, Mackenzie's trying to figure out exactly why he's doing that. She's having an internal struggle with herself, because we know that she's already knows who the source is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. She hasn't told anyone. She has this meeting with Lily to push the deadline, because they can't get the actual writer, the person on the ground that actually wrote the story, out of the country, because one of his kids needs a passport. So they're fearful of his safety if this story runs without getting him safely out. She's having this debate with the person. And one thing I was so happy about and I loved was what we had talked about last week, and why it wasn't Lily that was putting her life on the line and in South America quitting her job and fighting for it the way that Neil was. And I like that Mackenzie called her out on that and asked her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But also her answer was good. Do you think that it needs to be that extreme, telling the truth?
Right.
And that's just a very interesting question, because we all tend, society does, and when you get into those government things and things we don't really understand, it becomes a very interesting question, and that's what they're kind of playing with here.
Right.
And Will being on both sides of it also is neat, because he sees it from the other side. He actually agrees with the other side, but he's also bound to still not reveal the source.
Based on his integrity.
Yep.
He's willing to go to jail for it.
Right.
Which we didn't think would happen.
Or no. I didn't think it would.
Kind of showed his arrogance a little bit, because he thought he was too big to be jailed, and find out really quick that he's not.
But I like that even in his arrogance, and he was clearly wrong about not being put in jail, when it happened, the way that he responded to that was very...
elegant?
Is elegant the word? It was composed. He didn't throw a fit. I feel like maybe the old Will might have. I don't know. But he didn't go crazy. He owned it. I guess there's ownership again, right? He owned the path that he chose.
Right. Yes, he
with
did.
With the consequence that
and
happened.
To make Mackenzie proud.
Yeah, I mean, we find out, too, that Mackenzie admits that she knows who the source is to him, and he freaks out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I even liked, you know, in her altercation with Lily, how she threatens her and says, dump the documents and I'll quit my job, walk to the FBI, and give them your name.
Mm-hmm. Right. I also felt...
I mean, that was a pretty intense moment.
Right. I was just going to say, I also felt in a way that Will sticking to it, he knew that if he wasn't going to, you know, maybe Mackenzie might take it upon herself and she could end up in jail. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That was my thought.
Yeah.
Well, that also goes back to what Reese says. When they get back to the newsroom and we fast forward a little bit, they've got everything in place. The guy's getting out of the country. He made it safely out. The whole family, they worked it out. They figured it out. They're excited. The story's about to run. Reese calls Mac into his office and tells her that they can't run the story no matter what, because Pruitt won't buy the company if they do, because of the fines they will more than likely incur, the penalties and fines that he'll have to pay if that story runs.
Right.
And she's frustrated, crestfallen, they're all disturbed. Reese seems to be as well. Seems to look pretty sad about it, too.
Yeah, because he knows... He knows everything that they put into doing the right thing for eventually getting the story out there to the public so that change can be made in Kunda.
Yeah.
In the Kunda situation.
So when Mac goes and tells the staff, she pulls Don aside and asks him if there is a journalist or a reporter that he really trusts. And they pass along the story to an old journalism school professor that works at AT.
Right.
Hoping that she'll tell the story that they weren't able to tell.
Which, I mean, I guess, well, my prediction is she will.
I mean, how could she not with all that stuff? I mean, she had everything there. All she has to do is report it.
How does that work, though? Does it become her problem? Will they keep chasing that story? You know what I mean?
Well, I fear that Mackenzie could now get into some hot water, too, right? Because she's shared illegal classified documents.
If you noticed, the paper on top of what she was looking at said it was from Mackenzie.
Right.
Right.
McHale.
So it's no secret. Yeah. So she could now be pulled into litigation.
Maybe she did it to share a jail cell with her hubby.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, you know, back at the court, you know, back that, you know, when Will gets convicted, comes out, he has to turn himself in at 5:30 that day. And I thought it was really funny when he comes out of there and he tells her, I don't think you should wait for me. I think you should move on.
Yeah. Right. It's such a Will thing to say.
Yeah.
That was so charming. Which brings us to our final topic, though, guys. Right?
Uh-huh.
Because how does she react to it? She's like, what? You're funny, but how about we get married now?
And you remember then, the 7 weeks I spent looking at wedding invitations? Boom! It's an email.
Boom. And here, that instant text messaging that got her into a lot of trouble in early seasons.
Yeah.
Right? Because she'd accidentally send things out. Is put to good use.
Yeah, full circle.
Announcement to everybody that, hey, I'm marrying Will at 3 p.m. You can be there if you want.
Right. Very casual. Just,
yeah.
Hey.
I can just feel Will's, like, joy, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you could see it in his his face, his reaction.
It was really cute. Everybody pulled together to help.
Yeah, that was touched together. By that.
Right.
Getting Jim the flowers.
And, yeah, Jim and Dawn go get the rings. Sloan is getting the cake.
Why did she put the cupcake on top of that cake? Did you guys think that was hilarious?
Yeah.
I was like,
I thought it was.
Like, is she?
She's clearly not a cake designer. But that was cute. Yeah, and then the flowers. Maggie was in charge of the flowers for the ceremony. And then what I thought was so touching was, you know, the fact that even though it's going to be a wedding at City Hall, shotgun wedding there, he wants to help, he wants Mackenzie to still have a piece of what she had dreamed about, which is to have a Catholic wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, she goes to the priest and asks him to do the service, even though it's not at a Catholic church. And their exchange is very funny when they're talking about, you know, what's allowed with Catholicism and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also see kind of a vulnerable moment for Will where the priest asks him if he wants to pray, and he does.
I like that.
And even when Charlie is wandering the halls of Juilliard to put together the band members to play at the wedding, he stops in front of that painting that says,
Singing, he who sings prays twice. Yeah.
Yes.
It's very spiritual.
Yeah, that entire montage with the Ave Maria being sung in the background there was gorgeous. Just like the leading up to preparing for this wedding, the ceremony itself juxtaposed, I'm going to use a big word there, by, you know, the lawyers coming in and the officials walking in because they're about to arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had goosebumps watching that, and I'm getting them now. But it was beautifully composed, I felt like, for that montage. And then their goodbye, you know, as, you know, the wedding's over, they're now husband and wife. And how challenging, right? Now they've got to say goodbye to each other, at least for the moment, as he is surrendering himself to authorities. And what did you guys think about their goodbye?
It was
sad.
Yeah, it was sad. Yeah. I didn't know what to think in terms of the future. I don't know if he's going to eventually give up the source, or if somehow he'll be set free in a different way, or
I think
she'll join him.
I hope she doesn't join him. I think he'll be set free another way, but I don't think he'll reveal the source just to get out. I think he'll stick to his
guns
on it.
Maybe Neil will come back.
And then he's in jail now. I really thought it was beautiful, though. He didn't let go of her hand, even as they were...
No, he let go.
Well, eventually he had to. But, like, when they were in front of him, like, he was...
They
showed his hand, like, squeezing hers.
Yeah.
Because that's hard. That's the hardest part, letting go.
Well, I'm glad she kissed him, because I don't think we saw the ceremony kiss. So it was like, are you guys going to say goodbye without?
And we don't see a lot of kisses between those two. We see the connection and the in-bed, like, funny banter. The nudging and who's calling.
Yeah.
But kisses are not commonly exchanged with those two on screen, right? So that was nice. So I thought that was a beautiful way to wrap up this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And...
What would you have thought had that been the final scene, that's it, end of newsroom, and pick your own adventure? What would you have?
I don't know.
What would you two have thought?
I would have thought that Will would have run off, jumped on a plane with Mackenzie, and gone to South America.
Oh.
Joined in Venezuela. Is that where he's at?
Venezuela.
Yes. Go, Neil. Get out of there.
Right.
For their honeymoon.
Pick another Latin American country.
Poor Neil. Yeah. He didn't get to say goodbye to his family.
But he is with those Venezuelan ladies. No, I'm just trying to look at the upside here, guys.
That makes it all okay.
But I missed Daniil. I've missed him in the last few episodes.
You have something to tell us, so.
Oh, do I? All right, well, it was a great episode, guys. Yeah. I'm sad there's only two left. So with that, we'll just get into some gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Here, we're going to do the carnivore side of the news and not the ACN side of the news.
You have some news for us.
I have some carnivore gossip for you. So, Marissa, do we have that photo we can show? So, actually, last week...
Oh,
ooh, look who I saw, guys. I missed Neil on the episodes.
Ooh,
but I actually had the pleasure of meeting the lovely and talented Dev Patel. Just a random run-in. I was at the Ace Hotel in downtown LA celebrating a friend's birthday. And, you know, this guy catches my eye. Kind of tall. Pretty cute. And I'm like, hey, that guy kind of looks like Dev Patel. And I'm telling my friends, that guy kind of looks like Dev Patel. They're like, it might be. So I go up to him and I say, you know, has anybody ever told you that you look like Dev Patel?
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I did. And he goes, I get that a lot, actually. And it was his voice. I'm like, you are Dev Patel. He's like, I am. But he was the sweetest guy. He was there celebrating something with some friends as well. I told him, you know, that we've had Chris on and, you know, we've chatted with Aaron about things, and he was really excited about our show, and he's happy that, you know, the viewers tune in every week, and that, you know, we're here talking about the episodes every week. Mm-hmm. Inside info, he said he's about to film his next film, whatever that may be, but he's going out of country next week, because I did ask him to join us, but he graciously said that he had to go out of country.
Well, yeah, he's welcome.
Yeah, so that was like my fun little gossip bit there. I got to meet Dev.
Yeah.
Wish he could come on sometime.
One of her favorite characters.
Yeah, love that guy.
All right. You could stop cheesing now.
No,
Kelly, you can't see it, but almost no room for me.
I keep giggling.
Almost no room for me at the table with the smile
over
here.
That was me while I was with him in person. It was embarrassing. Just kidding. No, it was fine.
Your cheeks hurt.
All right, guys. Well, thank you.
Oh, predictions?
Oh, predict. Let's predict.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I predict that I run into Dev Patel another time. And
she
we
had
get married.
To go. And you get married.
No. Let's see. What do we predict here?
My prediction was, one of many I think I said throughout was that Charlie will actually, I didn't say it yet, but I think Charlie will come to like the new way of doing media. I don't know if we'll see it in the next two episodes. It might be too quick to kind of introduce the new regime, so to speak. But I think Charlie will get into it.
I think that the reporter or the writer Joseph Bartow, he's coming back from the country, right, with his family. He rallies with the media to get Will out, and that's how he gets out.
Oh, and puts himself in.
No, I don't know what to say about that, but I'm just throwing something out there.
That's too far. I'm going too far.
Going too far.
Sorry. And Kelly.
They focus on the message, bringing justice to Kunda, and that's enough for everybody. Let's just say that. No.
That was very powerful.
What about you, Kelly?
I don't know. I think that there's still a lot more drama to be had, and I just really hope that we get Will out of jail before the end of the series. I can't imagine that he'll be in there for the last two episodes. I really hope not. Or maybe he'll be broadcasting from jail, which would be funny.
Then they'll have
on a cell phone, a smuggled cell phone.
Right.
When you said that, I just envisioned a pullout on his face behind bars, and that's the closing credits for the end. Just Will.
Look at you, Mr. Director. Let's call up Alan Poole and give him some suggestions.
No, Kelly painted a great picture. Sorry, go ahead.
No,
I don't know. I'm excited to kind of see where it goes, and
same.
I definitely want to see a lot of Charlie and Lucas fight. I really love that dynamic those two have going on.
Maybe they'll get a spin-off.
I want to see if they'll be able to find that compromise that we discussed earlier.
Right. I want to see
Dawn and Sloan get married.
That too, but Reese put Pruitt in his place. I want to see that happen too. He's been bullied by this guy, seems like his whole life. I want it to be the flip side before we go.
But it's too late, isn't it?
No, it's never too late.
What does he...
Never too late. It's never too late.
Just in some way, like he gets something. He wins something, yeah, over him.
His girlfriend, and then they get married.
Maybe.
A lot of predictions.
Okay. Two left, guys. Only two episodes left.
I believe that.
All right, but thanks so much, everybody, for joining us for our AfterBuzz TV recap tonight. I am your host, Sarah Mendoza, and you can find me on Twitter at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
I'm at Kendra Cabasele. It's KendraKabasele.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE07.
And don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.